This morning's gospel reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise the Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. And then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen.
Shalom. Do you like my mask? Love your neighbor. The people of the United Methodist Church. Yes, we are called to love God and to love our neighbors. By the way, I have a matching shirt here too. The English writer, philosopher, and lay theologian G.K. Chesterton once said, quote, "The Bible tells us to love our neighbors and also to love our enemies, probably because they are generally the same people," unquote. Loving a person is not always easy. Even loving one of your own family members can be a challenge for you sometimes. However, considering the most important commandment Jesus has emphasized, we can say that we are called to love God and our neighbors as the people of God and as the followers of Jesus Christ. From Mark chapter 12, one day, Jesus was asked this question: "Which commandment is the first of all?" Now, let us pay attention to the crucial and profound response from Jesus. Verse 29, Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Amen. Simply put, the first commandment is to love your God, quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And the second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself, quoted from Leviticus 19. Even though Jesus seems to quote the two different commandments from the Hebrew Bible, these two commandments are essentially and fundamentally one. This morning's Gospel of Luke text can be a good example of this. When a law expert asked Jesus in verse 25, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replies to him with these questions. Verse 26, he said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? Now, this law expert knows his stuff. He possesses his professional knowledge on the entire Hebrew Bible. Verse 27, he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. I'm sure he just recited, memorized the whole thing without even any breath. Yes, both quotes from Deuteronomy and Leviticus, excellent. But Jesus simply responds in verse 28. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. It's a simple message. Jesus certainly implies that love your God and your neighbor, then you will have your eternal life, period. Even though this law expert has the perfect answer, Jesus commands him to do this, loving your God and loving your neighbor. In many times, we claim that we do know God's commandments for us. However, the knowledge will not save us, but the faith in action, the love in action will make true differences and will help us to live eternal life here on this earth and beyond. Apostle Paul warns us in 1 Corinthians 8:1. Knowledge makes people arrogant, but love builds people up. So, what happens to this law expert in the gospel? Did he go home happy with Jesus' answer? Not really. He had another question for Jesus in verse 29, but wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? I guess that this law expert must have had his my neighbor list and not my neighbor list. Probably his my neighbor list would be a letter, a short one, a small one. Me, my family, and I, my household, and probably my friends. That's it, right? On the other hand, his not my neighbor list would be a long one. Maybe everyone in the whole world. He appears to have very self-centered and egocentric networks and relationships. That's why he wanted to justify himself about his own set of lists. And he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor, for his approval for the list. Then Jesus, rather than giving this law expert guy a straight answer, he tells the famous parable of the Good Samaritan. We all know this well-known story, so I'm not going to repeat this same story. According to James Moore's Jesus Parables of Grace book that we had used for Wednesday Bible study before the pandemic, there are three types of people in the parable. Number one, those who have cruel eyes. In the parable, they are robbers, bandits, who attack the poor man. They harm and attack people, taking advantage of them. Number two, those who are calculating eyes. The priest and the Levite might be in this category. They just do not want to get involved. Number three, those who have caring eyes. Obviously, just as Good Samaritan, there are people who have caring eyes, caring for people in need and sharing love with everyone. The great American author, diplomat, professor, and pastor Henry Van Dyke Jr. once wrote a classic description of the people in the Good Samaritan parable. He pointed out that those robbers came saying, "What's yours is mine, I'll take it." The priest and Levi passed by on the other side and saying, "What's mine is mine and I'll keep it." The Good Samaritan stopped and helped the injured man and saying, "What's mine is yours and let's share it." After telling the Good Samaritan story, Jesus asked the most compelling and profound question in their whole conversation. Verse 36, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" This lawyer guy was expecting a straight answer for his question of "Who is my neighbor?" However, Jesus tries to help him to rethink about the question, "Who is my neighbor?" to lead to the most crucial question, "Are you a neighbor?" So in verse 37, this guy answers, he said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." It's like Jesus saying, "Young man, you know the answer. That's good. Now go and do likewise." Just as this law expert, if you want to compile a my neighbor list, you would end up with a very small list because there are so many different boundaries, categories, and criteria that you would set for your neighbors or non-neighbors. No, Jesus invites you to think differently. Be a good neighbor yourself, then everyone becomes your neighbor regardless their differences, any differences. You don't need to justify yourself with your limitation and restriction in helping others in need. You can simply be a good neighbor to everyone around you, everyone you encounter, and everyone you will meet in the future. 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. "Those who say, 'I love God,' and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or a sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen." The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. I'd like to share this card with you. This is addressed to our congregation. This sender, the sender of this card was touched by one of our church members' kindness and caring heart during last Advent. It's a beautiful card with Saint Basil, the great inspiring words on the cover. However, I'd like to share with you the message inside from the sender. Quote, "Dear faith community, on Thanksgiving weekend, I was walking with my almost 99-year-old dad in your parking lot. It was a lovely Saturday afternoon, and we very much enjoyed the peace and the view. Even more wonderful was a woman leaving the campus. She drove over to ask if we were okay, if we needed anything. I explained our activity, and she immediately offered some water for Dad. I don't know her. I am deeply touched and encouraged by her lived example of following Christ in this world to his people. Thank you for showing me the face of Christ that day. In this year, in this time of history, that we are the ones appointed to be here to do the good works he has prepared in advance for us to do, Ephesians 2. I am strengthened by this graced encounter. Would you kindly put the enclosed donation toward a family or food as you see fit in union of prayer?" Signed by, I just mentioned her initial, K.S. When I picked up this note from my box in the church office, our office staff attached another note. "Pastor Kim, the donation of $150 from this lady has been added to our church's Good Samaritan Fund." Yeah, right on. It's a wonderful to hear our church members' act of kindness of reaching out and showing mercy. I think I can guess who that good Samaritan who was showing mercy to the lady and her father in the parking lot, but I am confident that any one of you could have done the same thing because you are good, faithful, and caring neighbors always. Not just limited ourselves in our church campus, but everywhere you go to. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like to close my sermon with one of the Henry Van Dyke Jr.'s wisdom sayings on time. Time is too slow for those who wait, too swift for those who fear, too long for those who grieve, too short for those who rejoice, but for those who love, time is not. This is the original version, but some other versions say at the end, for those who love, time is eternity. This means you should never be too busy to love, too busy to help someone in need, too busy to be a good Samaritan, or too busy to be a good neighbor. There could be many big and small ways for you to be a good neighbor. One of the easiest and simplest ways for you to love your neighbor is to wear a mask. Maybe double mask is better, they say. Thanks be to God. Amen.